coming up on Locked On Dodgers. The Dodgers beat the Braves in a game that looked like it was going to be kind of an ugly one at the start. It was a great game for the overall team, team win, and plenty to talk about from that. We're going to talk about a really critical pitching move that Dave Roberts made in the middle of the game. Going to talk about how the challenge of trying to be a competitive team and let young pitchers take their lumps at the same time. And we're going to talk about the offense coming through in a way that they really needed to. That's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Dodger fans, this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you can be an everydayer just like we are. If this is your first time with us, I am Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Semperio. We're doing a split episode today, so it'll be me for the first half, Vince for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we're bringing the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. This episode is brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And yeah, this game, Dodgers beat the Braves 8-6. It started out really ugly, and it looked like, you know, we talked yesterday. One of our listeners, Champ City LA on Twitter, reminded us that just yesterday I said it would be nice if the Dodgers could jump out to a 4-0 lead instead of being down 4-0. And then the Dodgers were down 4-0 after the first inning in this game. And it was at that point, like, I knew the Dodgers still had a chance because I was at the game when Gavin Stone made his major league debut and the Dodgers went down by 4 runs and they came back to win. And that's, you know, when you get down that early in the game, it's easy to stay optimistic because all you got to do is chip away. So JD Martinez hits the home run to make it 4-1, you know, and just chip away, chip away, chip away. That's what the Dodgers did. They chipped away. And so I wouldn't say I was confident they were going to win after the first inning. I wasn't. I thought, crap, this could be bad. But I wasn't sure they were going to lose. And then they started coming back, and Gavin Stone really settled in after that first inning. And a couple of things could have gone differently. You know, Ronald Acuna's double to lead off the game or lead off the bottom of the first. Like, it was a weird hit. And I think a lot of the time, James Outman maybe makes the catch. It's just Ronald Acuna is such a unique player and the way he hits the ball that, you know, Outman got a bad read on. I don't know if he would have caught it, but it was one of those kind of, it's hard to say it's fluky when it's hit that hard, but, you know, it easily could have been an out. It could have been a line drive right at Outman instead of just over his head, you know, and there's all these things. Eddie Rosario decides that against the Dodgers, he doesn't suck, even though he does against everybody else. It's weird. It was an ugly inning. 9 batters came to the plate, 4 of them scored. And you think, oh crap. But then Stone really settled down, and he did a really good job for the next 3 innings and wasn't able to get through 5. That was kind of the goal, get him through 5 innings, and he wasn't able to do that. But overall, it was, you know, he did what he needed to do to keep them in the game, and the offense did. You know, Vince is going to talk more about the offense because, like we talked about yesterday, this is what the Dodgers need. The Dodgers need the offense to step up during this time when their pitching is going to be struggling a little bit. And that's exactly what happened. And so, like I said, Vince is going to talk more about the offense, but I want to talk about that fifth inning when Stone, he walks the first 2 batters of the inning and just falls asleep and lets Acuna steal third. So it's first and third, nobody out. And Dave Roberts came out to get Stone and he went to Evan Phillips. And this is why all offseason when people were wondering who's going to be the closer and people say it should be Evan Phillips. And I was always adamant that I don't want Evan Phillips to be the closer because the ninth inning isn't always the most important inning. And in this situation, the Dodgers are up 6-4 at this point. They had just gotten a 3-run homer from Freddie Freeman to take the lead. They're up 6-4. This was the pivotal moment in the game. At this point, the tying runs were on base. There's nobody out. You can't guarantee that there's going to be a more important moment in this game. and you would bet against it. This is the moment. And so this is when your best reliever should be in the game. And I loved that Dave Roberts went to Evan Phillips in this situation. And even if Phillips had bombed, I still would have loved the move, because I don't believe in judging things by the results. I believe in judging things by the process. And I think going to your best reliever in that high leverage situation was awesome. And I loved it. And he did get out of it, only allowed one run. He didn't do great, but he got out of it, got helped out a little bit by some really, really bad base running by the Braves catcher, whichever Murphy that is, Sean Murphy, probably. Yeah, he should have scored the tying run. Eddie Rosario hit a line drive to center field that James Outman made a diving catch coming in on, and Murphy just didn't tag up. He had gone halfway, and it's just terrible base running. Should have been 6-6. Dodgers end up, you know, who knows how things would have gone after that. As it is, that run didn't necessarily end up being pivotal because the Dodgers won by two runs, but it's still, you know, it's a huge deal there. And I was shocked and relieved when I was watching. I was at my son's baseball game, so I was watching my son play while holding my phone up in front of my face and watching the Dodgers play. And I was, how in the world? Like, and Sean Murphy's a good ball player. I don't know what happened there. But, you know, Phillips got out of the inning, and it seemed like, you know, after that, there were some other calls that Dave Roberts had to make. Anytime your starter only goes four innings, especially when the bullpen's been worked as hard as it has, you're going to have some not ideal pitching matchups and situations. And so they had to go to, they went to Yency Almonte to face the top of the order. And that could have been disastrous. Almonte has struggled this year, but Almonte still has really good stuff. And that's the thing, like, it wouldn't have been shocking at all to see Almonte just get lit up by the top of the order, but it also wasn't shocking that he had a really successful inning. He had a good inning because he does have good stuff, and, you know, his stuff moves a lot, and Acuna, you know, that top of the order, it worked out well. And I think that there was wisdom in Dave Roberts saying, well, we have to use Almonte tonight. And I actually like his stuff against the top of the order. I think that made sense. And Bickford going where he did at that point in the game. And, you know, Bickford had a tough luck run charge to him. He leaves with a runner on first, and Gratterall comes in and gives up a double that lets the run score. You know, but Bickford did his job, did a pretty good job. And then Gratterall gets the last four outs for the save. You know, it worked out, and it was a lot of good moves by Dave Roberts. Those things don't always go hand in hand. And that's part of the reason that it's so easy to second guess a manager, because even the right move goes wrong sometimes, and even the wrong move goes right sometimes. And so if you're just judging based on results, you're probably going to get a faulty understanding. But for me, the move for Phillips was huge, and it was kind of an understatement because it was the fifth inning. You know, by the time the game ended, we had kind of forgotten about that. But for me, that was the pivotal moment in the game, and it was a masterpiece move by Dave Roberts to go to his best reliever there. I loved it. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about Gavin Stone's outing and kind of a realization I had during this game, texting with a friend of mine about the situation the Dodgers are in, having rookie pitchers and trying to win a World Series at the same time. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by So Rare. Our new sponsor, So Rare, is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams. And unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, SoRare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there's no cost to play. SoRare MLB game weeks happen twice weekly and span a 3 or 4 day cycle. At the end of game weeks, SoRare MLB managers who rank at or near the top of their leaderboards win a variety of rewards, which can include SoRare scarcity cards, game tickets, merchandise, signed jerseys, and VIP experiences like meeting actual MLB stars. Prizes may vary depending on the competition. So head to SoRare.com/lockedon. That's SoRare.com/lockedon to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that's SoRare.com/lockedon to start playing today. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. I also want to remind you that if you are unable to plop in front of the TV to watch today's game as the Dodgers take on the Braves in game two of this series, you maybe you're still at work. It's at 4:20 p.m. Maybe you're stuck at work, whatever it is, and you want to listen on SiriusXM or the SXM app. All you got to do is launch the SXM app and search for Dodgers. Or if you're in your car and you want to watch or listen on your actual SiriusXM radio, tonight's game will be on channel 182 on your SiriusXM radio. You can also check out Locked On Dodgers on the SXM app just by searching for Locked On Dodgers. We also want to remind you, if you're watching this episode on YouTube, we'd love to hear from you in the YouTube comments section below. If you're listening on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you through social media or email or whatever. Vince will give you all that contact info at the end like he always does. And if you're not watching or listening every day, join the Everydayer Club. It's super fun. All you got to do is watch or listen every day, and you're an Everydayer. We appreciate our Everydayers. We love hearing from you guys, and we love talking Dodgers with you every day. So Gavin Stone started this game. It was his second career start, and he took his lumps. And during the game, I was texting with my buddy Thomas. He listens to this podcast. Thomas and I have never met in person, actually. We're Twitter friends, and you know, we're good friends, but haven't actually met in person yet. But I'm looking forward to meeting him. And we were just kind of texting about after that 4-run inning about Stone and whether he's ready and everything. And something kind of solidified in my mind that kind of, I don't know if I'd ever put this whole thought together at once. You know, we know that the Dodgers are somewhat unique in maintaining excellence at the major league level while also maintaining a good farm system and bringing up homegrown talent and all of that stuff. And here's a text that I sent to Thomas. I said, one of the reasons it's hard to maintain excellence is because the last step of development for a prospect almost always has to happen at the big league level. And it's a lot easier to let your young players take their lumps if you're a bad team. So this could be a blessing in disguise with Stone and Miller forced into the rotation. And, Oral Hirsch, I was talking about during the broadcast that there's a learning curve when pitchers get to the big leagues where it's not a question of stuff. Gavin Stone's stuff is great. But it's a question of, how to put away hitters, how to get ahead of hitters at the big league level. And Oral said, you know, the guys who are batting third or fourth in the AAA lineup are batting eighth in the major league lineup. It's just a different level of competition. And it's not that the stuff isn't good enough to be successful at the big leagues. It's that the pitcher has to learn how to be successful at the big league level with that stuff. And like I said to Thomas, that last step, almost by definition, has to come at the big league level. Not always. Every once in a while, you'll have a pitcher who just comes in and immediately starts dominating. But most of the time, you have guys, you know, Clayton Kershaw, the first couple of years, he was a good pitcher, had great stuff, and was pretty successful, but not quite, he wasn't anything near what he turned into. You know, it was his fourth season that he won his first Cy Young Award because he was learning. He was developing that slider, that third pitch. All those things that are necessary. Sandy Alcantara won the Cy Young Award last year. That was like his, fifth year in the big leagues? You know, he's been solid and then getting better and better. It's that way for almost every pitcher that you have to learn how to pitch at the big league level. And like I said to Thomas, that's why it's hard to do because it's hard to let a rookie pitcher fail in the big leagues when you're trying to win a division and win a World Series. But the Dodgers are going to have to do that. And you know, with Walker Buehler a few years ago, they brought him up, had him pitch out of the bullpen, and he took his lumps and he struggled at times. I remember the game that Alex Verdugo got his first career home run. Walker Buehler gave up a grand slam and the Dodgers got blown out by the Rockies and Buehler came in. And I think it was like the seventh or eighth inning. And I think it was a 2-0 game. Maybe the Rockies were up and four batters later, it was 6-0 because Buehler, somebody fact check me on that. How much I got right. I know Alex Verdugo hit his first big league homer later in that game. And it was just, was it Verdugo? It was Verdugo. Yeah. But that was the route they went with Buehler, let him take his lumps as a reliever. And then, you know, but even Buehler didn't turn into a great pitcher for another year or two after that. And it's how it's going to be. And Stone, and we'll see Bobby Miller tonight. It's going to be the same story where they are going to have struggles that just come from learning how to pitch in the big leagues. And you can't learn how to pitch in the big leagues in the minor leagues. You have to learn that in the big leagues. And so it is a challenge the Dodgers have. And that's why Vince and I talked yesterday, and Vince is going to talk more today about why the offense really needs to step up. Because if Gavin Stone can go out there knowing, look, even if I get knocked around for four runs in the first inning, my team still has a chance to win if I can settle in, that does allow him to do what he needs to do to learn how to pitch in the big leagues. Bobby Miller, same thing. Ryan Pepiot, when he comes back, same thing. Michael Grove, all these young pitchers, they need to know the offense can pick them up so that they can focus on, you know what, I've got to throw strikes here. I got to get ahead of hitters and do all those things so I can learn how to pitch in the big leagues. It's why it's so remarkable that the Dodgers have had this sustained success for so long, because it's really, really hard to do. A lot of reasons it's hard to do, but this is one of them, because young players have a learning curve when they get to the big leagues, but the way to build a sustained winner is to have your own young players come up. And we see it. The Dodgers have had some good luck, and they've had some good patience, and they've had a lot of success with that, and I hope that continues. But this game, it was great to see the offense pick up Gavin Stone. Gavin Stone picked up himself too. Like I said, pitched well for three more innings. It was a great team win. Like, I don't know if it was the biggest win of the season. It was big, though. The Gavin Stone's two starts have both been big team wins where he put them in a hole and they came back and won. And it's both been really fun to watch. And hopefully the Dodgers can win, you know, do the same thing for Bobby Miller. Maybe he can avoid getting in such a hole and the Dodgers can win this series today. And that puts them on a great start to the last part of this road trip. So that's about all I have for today. Like I said, Vince is going to talk to you about the offense. Then he's going to touch on Will Smith's altercation with Marcelo Ozuna, a lot of that stuff. So that's it for me.
Today's episode is brought to you by Game Time. If you ever not gotten tickets when they first came out and now the date's coming up and you really want to go, but you don't know where to go get tickets. There's too many apps. You're too confused. Game Time is the app for you. Because buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. And Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and the best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you're about to have. They got flash deals going on for any event. They got last-minute tickets. You can see where you're going to sit, look at the view from the seats. They got pretty much any event in your area, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection, job loss protection, etc. Game Time is the last place for last minute ticket deals. So forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get the exclusive flash deals on tickets for sports, comedy, theater, more. And the Game Time guarantee means that you'll always get the best price, because if you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. So snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Yo, Dodger fans, Vince here to close out the episode. And as Jeff mentioned, we're going to talk about the offense and going to talk a little bit about the Will Smith, Marcelo Ozuna stuff. But we'll kick it off with the offense. And, you know, like Jeff mentioned, what we talked about yesterday was the offense kind of carrying the way this next week. If the Dodgers were going to win a couple series or at least split the next six games against the Rays and the Braves, they're going to need the offense to carry. And putting up eight runs and 12 hits is a good start for that offense. And, you know, they got contributions from up and down the lineup, mostly the top of the lineup, though. And that's really what I want to focus on is when you have a top of the order with Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, you know, Max Muncy, and now, you know, JD Martinez, you got to be able to put up some runs. You know, those guys are going to get at least three at-bats a game. That means that top five should produce runs at least two of those times, and hopefully multiple runs at that. Because, you know, as we know, once you kind of get to the bottom of the Dodgers lineup, it's a mixed bag with Peralta and Hayward and Chris Taylor and Miguel Rojas and, you know, even Outman struggling a little bit right now. Miguel Vargas struggling a little bit right now. It's a mixed bag. You don't know what you're going to get. But from the top of the order, and you look at it right now, and you look at OPS, and you got Mookie's at 863, Freddie's at 968, Will Smith at 940, Max Muncy 879, and JD Martinez is up to 876. So that's a formidable top five. Everybody's OPSing over 860. That's solid. That should get you runs, you know, like I said, multiple times a game when that part of the lineup comes through. And that's what happened yesterday. You know, Freddie had the big day yesterday, going 3-for-5, had the big three-run homer that put him ahead. JD had a pair of home runs. He's starting to look better. And this is what they need from the offense. And, you know, Freddie Freeman, obviously, we know is really good. And there's not much else to say. Like, we know Freddie's good. He's going to remain good. He's going to have, you know, little mini slumps here and there. But for the most part, he's probably the Dodgers' most consistent hitter. And, yeah, so we know we're going to get. But JD Martinez, I want to talk about him a little bit. So, JD, on the season now, hitting 264, OPS of 876, 8 homers, 27 RBI. You know, pretty solid season, especially considering the fact that people thought he wasn't going to be as good. His highest OPS since 2019 currently right now. And, you know, homering at a decent pace last year, he only hit 16 homers. So he's already halfway to that without being halfway through the season. And he's been good of late. The last week he has 3 homers, 9 RBIs, OPSing over 1,000 with a slugging of 700. So he's been looking really good. And then you kind of look at overall his season, and it's not really a fluke. I mean, you look at his numbers, and he's in the 92nd or highest percentile in average exit velocity, hard hit percentage, expected batting average, expected slugging, expected WOBA, and barrel percentage. So, you know, he's barreling the ball up. He's hitting it hard. And, you know, he's hitting it where they're not, whether it's a home run, whether it's doubles in the gap, or whether it's a hard single. Like, you know, he's putting the ball where it needs to be put. He's not playing any, you know, he's not really playing out of his mind at all. And, you know, he's hitting the ball. This is the hardest he's hit the ball in his career since 2018. So, you know, he's looking like the JD Martinez of the past. Now, with a guy like him, you know, he already went on the injured list once with the back. You know, maybe that might happen a couple more times throughout the year. You know, he's old. He's not playing older, not old, but baseball old, I guess. He's already, and he doesn't play defense. So, like, realistically, he should be okay. But, you know, this is the JD Martinez the Dodgers thought they were going to get when they signed him to that one-year deal. This is the JD Martinez he thought he could be, you know, by taking a chance on himself, signing a one-year deal, especially going to a team that's looking to win. And it's, you know, coming to fruition right now, and it's looking really good. So, you know, he kind of talked about it too. He said, it feels good. You work so hard every day to try to go out there and have a good performance. It's gratifying, but that at the end of the day, it's just one game. You know, even last night, Peralta added, he had an RBI triple. Miguel Rojas had a couple hits. So, you know, the Dodgers, they need to get the bare minimum basically from the bottom of the order, and just the expectation, you know, of from that top of the order, whatever you're expected to whatever they're expected to do, that's all you need from them. And the Dodgers offense can be rolling. And like I said, this past weekend in St. Louis, it wasn't necessarily a matter of the offense. They scored at least 5 runs in all those games, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, the pitching didn't come through this time. They, for whatever reason, when Gavin Stone pitches, the Dodgers like to come back, because this is the second time they've done it, like Jeff mentioned. And it was against Charlie Morton, who's had a really good season, who still has good stuff. And they didn't just all, you know, get it back in one lump inning. They got it back over the course of a few innings. You know, from they got one run in the second, and then from the fourth to seventh inning, they scored 2-3-1-1. So, like, they continue to chip on. They continue to add on. And, it, you know, it worked out for them, and it. It led them to a come from behind win that against a really good team. So, you know, the top of the order is really what the Dodgers need to be good. And then the bottom of the order can kind of fill out and help out. You know, yesterday Vargas and Outman didn't do much, and, you know, Muncy had the one hit, but that's going to happen. But if, you know, half of the lineup is hitting well, has a good day, then that's really going to work out. You know, Mookie had a big clutch. He had one hit, but that one hit was a 2-out RBI single that you know, when the Dodgers needed it. So shout out to the offense. They need more of that. Spencer Strider on the mound tonight, so it's going to be a little bit tougher for them. But, you know, if there's an offense that can get to them, it could be this top of order for the Dodgers. And, you know, realistically, you know, we don't know what we're going to get out of Bobby Miller on the pitching side. So offensively, you kind of, you know that, and you know you got a young pitcher, and you know you want to make them help them make them feel a little bit more comfortable. And, you know, it's not a matter of, oh, we want to make them feel comfortable, so let's hit. Like, it's not just, oh, let's just hit today. But, you know, maybe the Dodgers lock in a little bit extra, or, you know, maybe they have a little bit chip on the shoulder, but just a little bit, you know, extra motivation to perform offensively. And, you know, hopefully they can take care of that. The other thing that happened in this game was the benches didn't quite clear the bullpens. Came out of the bullpen, but didn't make that trek into the actual field. But Will Smith and Marcelo Ozuna exchanged some words after one of his, I think, his second at-bat or maybe first at-bat. And then they exchanged a little bit more words when he came up to bat, when Marcelo Ozuna came up to bat again. Marcelo Ozuna has a long swing. On one of those swings, he had hit Will Smith in the back of the head on his backswing. And Will Smith kind of told him something, and Marcelo Ozuna kind of said something back, and they kind of went after. Not, they didn't really go at it, but they were drawing a little bit. And like I said, the benches were on the verge of clearing. The bullpens, the guys made it slightly past the warning track, just kind of monitoring to see if they were going to have to go. But Will Smith talked about it after, and he said, "I was just mad. He hit me in the head with his bat pretty hard. Not the first time he's done it to me. He's done it to other catchers around the league. I just felt like there comes a point where I need to say something." There in the moment, it got kind of a little heated. It's something he's not doing on purpose, but you do it enough times, you think he'd fix it. And yeah, I can understand the frustration for Smith. Obviously, nobody wants to get hit in the head by a bat. It was, you know, particularly, you know, you see guys with long swings hit the catcher on their backswing, but it's usually not like that hard. Obviously, you don't want to get hit in the head at all, but it's, you know, and it doesn't happen very often. And apparently, you know, Smith's been hit by him before. I think somebody on Twitter found a video from last year where the same thing happened. Smith got hit on the backswing from Ozuna. And you would hope someone like Ozuna would be able to make some kind of adjustment just to help protect, you know, his fellow MLB guys. Like, you know, catchers don't want to get hit in the back of the head. Will Smith is coming off a concussion, which he talked about a little bit too. He said, they asked if it bothered him more because he just came off the concussion. He said, "I just came off a concussion 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was. So, yeah, the catcher is the one back there. He's the one getting hit. It's my job, and I'm the one wearing it. Hopefully I wake up tomorrow feeling good, should feel good." So, yeah. And like I said, in the moment, you know, in anything, if you get accidentally hit, there's a sense of anger, like, right away. You're not, like, even if it's an accident, you're not, like, let's just say a kid accidentally, like, drop something on your toe. Like, you're mad in the moment. You're not necessarily mad at the kid if it's an accident, but you're still mad, and you might react in that moment like, "Ah, what are you doing?" But, you know, and the kid might get spooked or whatever, but you're not necessarily mad at him. You're just mad because the pain, and then you needed, like, you know, frustration came out. But that's kind of how this was. Like, you know, he got hit, he was upset. He basically said, like, you know, "Hey, man, like, kind of watch it," or whatever. At one point when they showed up close, he said, "That's not the first time you've done it," or something to that extent. And, yeah, I can sense the frustration from him. And then, you know, Ozuna probably took exception to it. I know, you know, social media has already had a field day a little bit with it, calling, you know, Will Smith soft and all of this other stuff. And, you know, realistically, Will Smith was upset that he got hit. He said something. Ozuna probably got, you know, maybe, I don't know what Will Smith said initially, you know, so I can't say Ozuna overreacted, but Ozuna got a little bit more, you know, when you accidentally hit someone, you know, on your backswing, especially the catcher, you would be like, "Oh man, I'm sorry." And I think that's the other thing Will Smith said. He didn't apologize. And I think after the game, I think Ozuna still didn't apologize. So then Will Smith probably said something, and then Ozuna probably took a session to it, and then that's where it kind of went from there. So in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a big deal. If the Braves would have just, like, not let, you know, would have taken care of Ozuna before, or even when he was struggling, like, just, "Hey, you know what, Marcelo Ozuna, goodbye," this would have never even happened. But again, I don't think it's going to extend beyond today unless he does hit him again. Because then, you know, now, regardless of that's how your swing is, now if you're Ozuna and you hit him again, it's going to look somewhat intentional, unless it's like a barely a tap and you're like, oh, like, and then you react like, oh, my bad, my bad. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't become a thing, you know, hopefully it's over now. But like I said, I can understand Will Smith's perspective. And like I said, Osuna looking out for, you know, if he was a catcher, he wouldn't want a guy swinging like that and hitting him in the back of the head and either one, not acknowledging it, or two, being upset when it does get brought up to him. So, but I mean, yeah, good on Smith to say something. And hopefully, like I said, Osuna, maybe it'll get in his head and he'll try to change his swing. And then he, you know, gets his swing even more discombobulated than it was before. But either way, you know, good on Smith. I also saw some stuff on, you know, social media kind of calling out Will Smith. He had the thing with Randy Rosarena in the World Baseball Classic, and now this with Osuna, and, you know, people jump to other conclusions about Will Smith. And like I said, I don't think it mattered who it was that hit him in the back of the head yesterday. It just was a matter of hitting somebody in the back of the head, not acknowledging or apologizing for it, and then getting upset when it was brought to his attention. So, like I said, I don't expect there to be much to this anymore, but that remains to be seen. There's still two more games in this series. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Make sure to listen to the Dodgers home broadcast. If you can't watch the game on SiriusXM or the SXM app, just search Dodgers and you can listen to any home broadcast. Dodgers play today against the Braves, 420, Bobby Miller's debut. So, if you can't watch, obviously radio home broadcast is a solution, but I would say try to get to a TV today and try to watch Bobby Miller. And hopefully he's not too amped up. You know, if Bobby Miller's not too amped up and he's calm and ready to go, you know, I don't expect six scoreless innings, but I do expect, you know, five innings with a couple runs allowed and hopefully this racks up some strikeouts. So we'll see. Either way, remember, you can find us on there as well on SXM app. Search Locked On Dodgers, which is also how you can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube. Make sure to subscribe and become an everydayer and join that exclusive club of people that listen to us every Monday through Friday, or at least close enough to every Monday through Friday as they can. You can also find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, text My Advice Play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.